This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Anyone interested in promoting human rights and freedom from oppression is welcome to join Students for a Democratic Society. Please contact us at stsuhtx@gmail.com.
If you believe in change through action, please contact us at stsuhtx@gmail.com.
You're listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio.
90.1 KPFT Houston, Texas.
On Sunday, March 29th at 6 p.m., Voices Breaking Boundaries presents Cultural Narratives, a talk with Imran Aslam, the president of the largest alternative media network in Pakistan, Jio, that was closed down for 3 months in November 2007 after President Musharraf declared a state of emergency. With Pakistan on world headline news every day, Imran Aslam will share an incisive alternative perspective of the daily dramas unrolling in Pakistan and South Asia. All this on Sunday, March 29th, 6 p.m. onward at the Station Museum, 1502 Alabama, Houston, 7700. The evening is co-sponsored by KPFT Houston. For more information, go to www.vbbarts.org or call 713-524-7821 for more information.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Valensky,
Brian Lavinka,
and Glenn Holt. And tonight, on News Wrap, the Obama administration reverses another Bush policy by adding the U.S. to a United Nations General Assembly declaration in support of GLBT rights. Pope Benedict comes under criticism for claiming that condom distribution increases the spread of HIV/AIDS. The Minnesota Family Council pushes a same-gender marriage ban in that state to prevent, get this, the end of the world. And other items entertaining and important to our community. Then Diana Fernandez and Gary Greer of the Lone Star Volleyball Association will be here to promote the Miss LSVA pageant this weekend and the upcoming 20th annual LSVC Volleyball Tournament Easter weekend. Both venues are fundraising events, and we'll ask Gary and Diana how that all works and who the beneficiaries are. In our second hour tonight on Queer Voices, it's J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage. This week is part two of his Guys on Cassette program, featuring recordings which were only released on tape, not vinyl or CD. This month's QMH is packed with rare indie artist obscurities. But first up tonight, the Houston GLBT Political Caucus and plans for the year with HGLBT PC President Chris Banks.
Well, that's a mouthful. Can you get that
it
out?
It certainly is.
Absolutely. Well, welcome, Chris, the newly elected president of the caucus.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
Well, tell us about some of the plans. I mean, this year seems like it's going to be a very busy year politically. We've got a mayor's race, and we've already endorsed Denise Parker. And then there's a special election coming up, which Maverick Welsh was endorsed, which is an out-GLBT person. So is it going to be an easy year, or is it going to be a rather difficult year, do you think?
No, and you know, you hear this every year, and you really heard it last year with Obama, but this year is a big year in politics for our community. We have an enormously qualified candidate for mayor that we've endorsed, Denise Parker, who also is a member of our community. So that's a huge deal for our community. We're really going to be getting the word out for all LGBT people to not only get out and vote, but also get out and get involved with this election.
Well, how are you going to do that?
Well, we're already starting to bring in a stronger volunteer base. Just this weekend, Jack mentioned that we endorsed Maverick Welsh for a special election in District H. We had 12 people at the caucus office sitting there making phone calls. We made 1,000 phone calls this weekend. And keep in mind, there are probably only going to be about 4,000 people that vote in this election.
So 4,000 people, a special election covering like a ninth of the city. How do you find those people? How do you get them active? Because they're not really thinking about going out and voting in May.
Well, one of the things that the caucus has a strong advantage on is voter identification, and that's because the caucus correctly surmised years ago that building a database is the best thing that you can do to really get out the vote in elections. And so we have that strong database now, and the goal now is to not only make it stronger, but also to get out the volunteers to work that list and get those people out.
Okay, so there's also early voting coming along, and in the endorsement process, it was rather an interesting endorsement process because there was a lot of good candidates that were running for that seat,
mm-hmm.
And yet the caucus always chooses one or none. It doesn't do any dual endorsements. What are the qualities that you think Maverick has to make a good city council person?
Well, first off, I mean, being a civic association president, he really understands neighborhoods, and particularly the older neighborhoods that are in District H. He's been a teacher. He was a teacher at Jefferson Davis High, so that's also in the district, and actually in another part of the district than where he lives. So he understands that area. He's also been a chief of staff for a city council member, so he understands the way the city works. He understands how to get things done on city council. He's just going to be a really great council member. He has the experience, and it's a big plus that he's a member of the community. If elected, he'll be the first openly gay man on city council.
Now, for our listeners, District H covers what part of the city?
It's a good deal the north part of the city. It's the Heights, it's Northside Village, it's Independence Heights. It goes pretty far north. You'd have to go on the city website to really know whether you live there, but it's Memorial Heights, Heights, Northside Village, Independence Heights, Northside.
So, and I know this past Saturday there was already some phone banking being done. I guess this is also a race where there's probably not a lot of money involved. It's getting out the base. And mm-hmm. So the work is on there, but it's still a matter of reminding people to get out there and vote. So what else is going to be done besides the phone banking?
Well, I know that there's a block walk plan for this week. We're going to be sending out a mail out, too, which is our traditional, what we always do. And we're planning on doing that for this election as well. I mean, you're right. It's something, it's not going to be a lot of media coverage. It's not going to be something that people think a lot about. So it's really having to remind people that the election is even happening.
With the it's an amazing thing that we've got Anise Parker running for mayor, and right now Sue Lovell serves as mayor pro tem. What do you think, is there any plans to actually have some type of I hate to say payback, but actually some type of ordinance that would be passed that would protect GLBT people, especially after this recent incident that happened at Union Bar? You want to talk a little bit about that?
Good segue.
Okay, the Union Bar incident. First off, there's something called Guerrilla Gay Bar. It's been very successful in other cities. It's where a bunch of people, gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender people, show up at a traditionally straight bar.
And they just show up.
They just more or less show up. This is the way it usually takes place.
It's been around for years, and I think I went to one in San Francisco about 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's usually a great time. First off, the caucus had nothing to do with organizing it. It's a completely apolitical event. I was just there to find a husband or whatever. And we showed up, and there were a lot of explanations given, but the bottom line is 50 to 100 gay people were left standing outside in the line while male-female pairings were allowed in.
I was there, too, and I was told that there were not enough women coming in, so all the men had to stay outside.
Right, ratio. That's what I heard, too.
And I actually know the person that organized it, and they had clearance, apparently, with the management, but was not communicated to the door guy. That's what I heard. You actually met with them.
We heard a lot of that there was miscommunication, that there was a capacity issue. We heard a lot of reasons. They apologized ultimately.
Nobody there.
That's what we heard from inside, too.
Yeah.
They said they had a door count of 72. They came to us. They apologized. We wanted to get on with things.
So did they approach you, the caucus, or what was the communication? What was the meeting that that occurred?
Well, because they had the contact information for the organizer, they contacted the organizer, and the organizer let us know, brought us in on it.
Okay.
So he wanted to have some backup. He didn't want to go in by himself.
Right, right.
So the law basically says that an establishment can discriminate. Is that true?
There's nothing to keep them from discriminating.
Right. So, and they can do that basically on any cause. So, in a sense, a business can't, can a business actually say that they don't want black people there?
They can't say black people because the Civil Rights Act of 1964...
supersedes that, okay.
Right. You can't discriminate based on race as a public accommodation. But that's not... But it doesn't apply to gender, or especially to sexual orientation or gender identity.
I'm very glad that this didn't blow up, because I was afraid that the press that the Union Bar would have gotten in that case would have been maybe beneficial and kind of promoted this Midtown kind of stronghold of heterosexuality.
Well, and I'm kind of glad, because even though it was disturbing and it was a bad sight, the focus really isn't on getting in bars. It's housing and real estate transactions.
Exactly,
that's what
yes.
we should really be focusing
yes. on.
I know.
Yes. If that's our biggest
employment.
Issue.
Yes.
Yeah.
And employment. Yeah, employment, yes.
And in fact, it was rather interesting. The anchor of ABC News was here in Houston today.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the fact that Houston still has a rather good employment opportunities. But without any protections, and we don't seem to be able to get that from the state, probably in mm-hmm. my lifetime.
Or my lifetime.
It's not looking good. You're right.
Well, and it may change in a couple of years. Isn't it, should the caucus, and believe me, I've been part of the caucus for a long time, should we be working on that type of thing for a city ordinance or a county ordinance?
Yes, we should. The thing is, we've been hearing candidates say that for years, that they're going to do that once getting elected, and we haven't seen it yet, even though every other major city in the state, rather, has some kind of ordinance protecting sexual orientation, and in some cities, gender identity. We're hoping maybe if we move forward and elect people who are even more sympathetic, say people who have lived that life, they might understand that a little better and understand the priority.
Now, historically, hasn't there been an ordinance proposed and tried to...
There has been an executive order that there be non-discrimination within city employment.
Right.
But there isn't anything.
There's not
and many cities also not only have non-discrimination for employment and public accommodations, but they also have that for contractors who deal with the city. And San Francisco was probably way ahead of the curve on that when they did that.
They're ahead of every curve on everything, I think. Now, Chris, what do you see as the future of the caucus, and what is your vision as president?
Well, I mentioned that I wanted to grow the volunteer base, and that really goes into, I want there to be more buy-in from the membership. I want the members to really feel like they're a part of the caucus. By showing up, we have a new, we're calling it 9 for 9. It's where you pay, it's for the 2009, $9 a month, and you can sign in on our website, thecaucus.org. It's just that my goal is to get the members to feel more like they are the caucus, and more like they have a real part in city politics.
So, how could people get involved?
Well, like I mentioned, you can go to the website, thecaucus.org, sign up for our newsletter. We have a meeting April 1st. It's at the Haven Center, 1875 West Alabama.
April 1st?
April 1st.
So
wait.
No fool. That's April Fool's Day, no fooling. That's
Sorry,
I'm being
No fooling. April 1st, for real.
All right.
1875 West Alabama, the Haven Center. You can also, like I said, sign up for our 9 for 9 program for only $9 a month, which is the cost of dinner. It's, I think, 30 cents a day is what we figured it out. You can help elect the first openly lesbian mayor of a city of more than 1 million people in this country.
Oh, what a day that would be, I think. I'm very excited about this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be seeing more of me.
Good.
So in terms of volunteering, what sort of opportunities, once you get the volunteers, what will they be doing? What are your biggest needs, I think?
Well, the thing about election work, and maybe I'm not selling it as well as I should right now, it's not always the most fun thing. It's tedious. It's knocking on doors. It's telling your friends. It's calling people. That's what gets people out to vote. People have to know that there's an election, and people have to know who they're voting for. And it's best to hear that from someone that they know or someone that they know is a real person. So that's voter contact is the best thing you can do for an election, is to actually show up at someone's doorstep or call them on the phone and tell them to vote.
Well, certainly anybody who's worked in the Obama campaign or Hillary's campaign last year knows that that's how it works. It's the groundwork of knocking on doors, having conversations, explaining why you think this is a good person to be elected.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the thing is, even after the person's elected, you still have to be involved in what goes on so that you hold these people accountable.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you have to maintain a constant conversation with these people. And that's why you have to bring them in. You have to make sure that they know that you supported them, and they should that you supported them for a reason, because they had certain ideas, and you want them to live out those ideas in whatever elected office they serve in.
Great. Well, Chris, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
Chris Banks is the newly elected president of the Houston GLBT Political Caucus. And the best way to get some more information is go to the website, thecaucus.org. You're listening to Queer Voices.
Before, walked in and out that door, and now I find myself standing here again. You tell me this is new, 'cause this time it's with you, and you're not like any other man I knew. Me that way, what will it feel? How will it be?
Thomas from his 2006 CD. The song was titled, What Am I Gonna Do Without You? And the name of the CD, Faith Unashamed. This is Queer Voices.
I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm John Torres.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending March 21st, 2009. The United States has belatedly signed onto a United Nations declaration urging that LGBT people be guaranteed basic human rights. The action joined a growing list of the Obama administration's reversals of Bush administration policy. 66 of the UN's 192 member countries, including virtually every other Western nation, along with Japan, Mexico, Israel, and others, signed the document last December, which was spearheaded by France and co-sponsored by the Netherlands. It was the first time a statement condemning human rights abuses against LGBT people had been presented to the UN General Assembly. In refusing to sign on, the Bush administration claimed that the declaration raised legal questions that needed further review, including the possible encroachment on states' rights. More than 50 nations, including members of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, also opposed the declaration. Current State Department spokesman Robert Wood told reporters this week that a careful interagency review by the Obama administration concluded that supporting this statement commits us to no legal obligations. The 13-point statement declares that human rights apply equally to every human being, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. It also condemns violence, harassment, discrimination, exclusion, stigmatization, and prejudice directed against persons in all countries in the world because of sexual orientation or gender identity.
The Vatican, while not an official member of the UN, also opposed the declaration. And Pope Benedict XVI seemed bent on further marginalizing the Roman Catholic Church as he began a visit to Africa this week. Church doctrine unequivocally opposes the use of contraceptive devices during sexual activity and insists that abstinence is the only effective weapon in fighting the spread of HIV and AIDS. Heading to a region ravaged by the disease but with the fastest growing number of converts, the Pope insisted that condom distribution actually boosts the rate of infection. You can't resolve it with distribution of condoms, he told reporters aboard his plane before it landed in Cameroon. On the contrary, he said, it increases the problem. His remarks sparked immediate condemnation around the world by human rights and HIV/AIDS groups. The French Foreign Ministry said the statement would endanger public health policies and the imperative to protect human life. Belgium's health minister said the Pope's comments reflected a dangerous doctrinaire vision. Two German ministers called them irresponsible. A New York Times editorial said the Pope was grievously wrong. The Vatican tried to spin the Pope's words following the uproar, saying he only wanted to emphasize responsible sexual conduct. That came on the same day Spain announced it would send 1 million condoms to Africa to fight the spread of HIV on the continent. Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero has been at odds with the Vatican on other issues, such as marriage equality, since he took office in 2004. The Spanish Health Ministry said in a statement that condoms have been demonstrated to be a necessary element in prevention policies and an efficient barrier against the virus.
In other news, Denmark's parliament passed a bill this week giving adoption rights to civilly united same-gender couples, giving them parity with their heterosexually married counterparts. Equality activists had spent the past decade fighting for the legislation. The opposition Social Democrats and Socialist People's Party supported the bill. While the center-right government officially opposed it, 7 members of the ruling Liberal Party voted in favor. Gays and lesbians were previously allowed to adopt as individuals and to adopt a partner's existing children. Denmark became the first country in the world to create civil unions for same-gender couples in 1989, but it lags behind countries that have since opened marriage to gays and lesbians. Danish LGBT groups hope passage of the adoption bill will spur lawmakers to support marriage equality legislation.
A gender-neutral civil marriage bill was introduced in Israel's parliament late last month, though it has little chance of advancing. But a Tel Aviv family court has approved the first ever adoption by a gay male couple. Under an unusual set of circumstances, 30-year-old Yossi Evan Kama is now the legal son of former MP Uzi Evan and his husband Amit Kama. Yossi was disowned by his parents for coming out when he was 16 years old, and he found a new home with a longtime gay couple. They legally married in Canada in 2004, but their marriage is not recognized in Israel. Evan teaches chemistry at Tel Aviv University, and in 2007, Yossi applied there, seeking the reduced tuition rate available to children of professors. He was turned down because Evan was not his legal father, prompting the unprecedented adoption effort. Kama told the Jerusalem Post that the parent-child relationship has existed with us for 14 years. We always were a loving, living family, but were not recognized by the authorities. He called the adoption approval a great victory. This was the first time that a gay male couple has won adoption rights in Israel. In 2005, the country's Supreme Court ruled that the lesbian partner of a woman who birthed a child had co-parenting rights and approved an adoption in that case.
A U.S. federal judge this week ordered the state of Louisiana to put the names of two out-of-state fathers on the birth certificate of their adopted son, who was born in the Louisiana city of Shreveport, but legally adopted in the state of New York. U.S. District Judge Jay Zaney decided that because a New York court approved the joint adoption by Orrin Adar and Mickey Ray Smith, the U.S. Constitution's full faith and credit provisions require Louisiana to revise the birth certificate to show both men as a child's parents. The case was initiated when Smith was denied a revised birth certificate, in part to include his son in his health insurance coverage, and was told that Louisiana law doesn't recognize same-gender relationships and prohibits adoption by two single people. The state is planning to appeal the court order.
Meanwhile, some marriage equality activists are not waiting for the California Supreme Court ruling on a challenge to Proposition 8. The Secretary of State's office this week officially approved an effort to collect signatures on a proposed ballot initiative to overturn the constitutional marriage ban. The group Yes on Equality has until August 17th to gather about 700,000 signatures to qualify the measure for the 2010 ballot.
A Vermont Senate committee has unanimously approved a bill that would legalize same-gender marriage in the state. Vermont was the first in the nation to create civil unions for gay and lesbian couples, but activists there have been pushing for full marriage equality. The Senate Judiciary Committee heard emotional debate during a public hearing on the bill this week that drew hundreds to the State House. The full Senate is expected to take up the bill in the coming week. Republican Governor Jim Douglas has said he opposes marriage for same-gender couples, but has not indicated whether he would veto the bill if it passes legislative muster.
The Minnesota Family Council is pushing a constitutional amendment in that state to prohibit same-gender marriage because, the group says, banning such marriages will prevent the end of the world. Seriously. Religious leaders from all major faiths joined the group at a press conference this week to support that argument, though the effort is unlikely to gather much legislative support. This is not a political issue or an issue of choice or rights, said Andre Dukes, pastor of Shiloh Temple Church in Minneapolis. It is an issue of life. Ikram ul-Huk, the imam and religious director of the Muslim Community Center of Bloomington, told reporters that if everyone is a gay, this world will cease to exist in 10 years. A bill recently introduced in the Minnesota legislature would open marriage to same-gender couples by making applicable laws gender-neutral.
And finally, leading American dictionary publisher Merriam-Webster defines marriage as 1. The state of being united to a person of the opposite sex as husband or wife in a consensual and contractual relationship recognized by law, and 2. The state of being united to a person of the same sex in a relationship like that of a traditional marriage. Even though the more inclusive definition was added in 2003, commentators at the right-wing WorldNet Daily website discovered the change this week and began ranting about it. "What we are finding odd is that this is neither news nor unusual," said Merriam-Webster spokesman Arthur Bicknell. "In fact," he told reporters, "we were kind of late to the party. We were one of the last ones among the major dictionary publishers to do this." The American Heritage Dictionary of the English Language last modified its definition of marriage in 2000. After the traditional description, the fourth example it gives is a union between two persons having the customary but usually not the legal force of marriage, a same-sex marriage. A more inclusive definition of marriage was also added in draft form this month to the Oxford English Dictionary, which publisher Oxford University Press describes as the definitive record of the English language, noting that the term is now sometimes used with reference to long-term relationships between partners of the same sex. The dictionary's editors have proposed updating the primary definition of the word to simply mean the condition of being a husband or wife, the relation between persons married to each other, matrimony. Dictionary publishers have apparently already seen the writing on the wall, so to speak.
That's News Wrap for the week ending March 21st, 2009. Written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Michael LeBeau.
And I'm John Torres.
This is Queer Voices. It is springtime when a young man's fancy turns lightly to thoughts of volleyball. And the reason for that is because for the 20th year in a row, Lone Star Volleyball will be doing the big volleyball tournament on Easter weekend. And whenever you have the volleyball tournament on Easter weekend, you have the Miss LSVA contest shortly before. So I have Diana Fernandez and Gary Greer in the studio from that organization, and myself included.
And Brian.
And so we're all here, and we're all going to interview each other.
And pray tell, what is the Miss LSVA pageant all about?
Well, the Miss LSVA pageant is our major fundraiser for the Easter tournament. It is a drag pageant of sorts. I say of sorts because have been a competitor and a winner in the past. So
which is bizarre because you're like, isn't that unfair?
I'm actually a woman.
Isn't it just dress up?
Kind of. It is, actually. I tell people that I don't really do drag. I do impersonation. So this one that's coming up is going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
Do you have the crazy drag makeup?
Of course I do. Of course. You can't do a drag, even if it's almost drag show, without drag makeup.
She does a killer Sarah Palin.
Or as she's commonly known, Caribou Barbie.
I actually did, because we kind of spanned across Texas with our other sister, kind of our sister volleyball group, the Dallas group, and I did a performance there at their tournament last year in October, and I did a Sarah Palin. It was quite funny. Yeah.
So when is the Miss LSVA pageant?
Miss LSVA pageant is this coming Saturday, March...
March 28th.
Come on now. Okay, it's been a long day.
Saturday.
March 28th, Saturday at 7 o'clock at South Beach, from 7 to 10. It is a fantastic time. It is a great time. Last year we actually had it in a different location, but this year is going to be at South Beach again. We love it.
I see. I'm very excited because I was honored to be asked to be one of the judges. So let me tell you, this is years in the making. I have years of watching shows like America's Next Top Model.
This is your dream come true.
It is. So I'm just excited with all the possibilities in my head. Okay, what are the criteria? So I'm looking forward to it.
You are going to have a really good time. The judges, I think, have the best time because the contestants have to impress the judges. They play with them and they taunt them. You said that this is a
fundraiser for the tournament, but it's also a fundraiser for...
It is. Every year, our tournament benefits a local charity, usually AIDS or gay-related. This year, it's the Center for AIDS, and we're very, very happy to give them some money. It's our first year to work with them, so...
Well, on behalf of the Center for AIDS, I'm very excited that you are going to give us money.
Yes, and we're very happy to do it. And because we are benefiting the Center for AIDS this year, you have been honored as a judge. We usually get one of our beneficiary from that group to come in and help us judge. So
okay, for someone who's never been to the pageant, tell us about what they may see or may expect.
Well, this year, since we are in our 20th year, and 20 years ago, as you know, is in the late 80s, we are having an 80s-themed Miss LSVA. We have great numbers that are going to be all 80s numbers. We're going to mix some modern numbers as well, but we are going to have some 80s numbers, some 80s-themed outfits, which are going to be awesome.
Psychedelic frizzy wigs.
Yes, think lots of hair.
There's going to be an ozone layer hole.
Yeah, there'll be Aquanet cans forever.
Diana Ross to Beyonce and everything in between.
Everything in between, that's right. It's going to be very fun. We've got some great numbers. We've got some great contestants.
Now, are there tickets? tickets, or you just kind of show up at the door?
You actually can get tickets. Probably a little too late to get tickets now, but you can just show up at the door. Minimal suggested donation.
Just a very minimal donation. Very minimum. Which the proceeds go to the Center for AIDS.
And all the proceeds. There actually are no expenses. Okay. So all of the money that is made goes to the Center for AIDS. Well, all the girls, and you know, Gary actually mentioned this, all the girls, we pay for everything ourselves. We don't get any help as far as that stuff is concerned. We buy our own wigs. We buy our own makeup. And, you know, we actually have a guy that's coming out and donating his time to do our makeup.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's very, very fun.
Now, Gary, are you dressing up?
I'll be dressing in 80s garb.
Yes.
But the contestants are actually volleyball players from the league.
That is correct. That is correct. We have three contestants this year, one of which is our president of our league right now, and he's going to be quite interesting.
That will not factor into the voting.
It will not factor. You don't know our president, won't know who he is, but it's going to be fun. He was actually at my house tonight trying on dresses, so it's going to be a blast.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's fun on Sunday because then, of course, when you see the contestant afterwards, you can tease them about what they did or didn't do and what they looked like.
And there's usually a little bit of glitter or eyeliner left on them.
Glitter's forever.
Glitter is forever. And there will be lots.
They have to parade out in front of everybody and accept their award for whatever. Do that again on Sunday at volleyball.
Absolutely. We make them bring their crown and their sash and their trophy so that they have to show it off again. Okay. Absolutely.
Now, you mentioned a tournament. When is that?
Mm-hmm. Our tournament is Easter weekend, which is, we've decided, April 10th and 11th.
Right.
We play on Friday and Saturday, and it is a great tournament. I'll actually let Gary talk about it. He knows more.
Well, yeah, this is our 20th tournament. We're part of North American Gay Volleyball Association, so we're a sanctioned event. Teams from all across the country, from New York, Chicago, California, Madison, Wisconsin, will be coming to play in the tournament. It's a great event. We expect 48 teams, over 320 athletes. And
you have all divisions from B right up through AA.
Yeah, and what that means is AA would be like somebody you see playing college and just hit the heck out of a volleyball. And
leave
then
the B
would be, you know, if you want to come out and you play a little recreational volleyball. We're actually, even on the Thursday before, hosting a volleyball for beginners or people that play at a more recreational level or just want to have fun and start in their first tournament on a Thursday night. So we're going to call that our host city or C division tournament, and we'll run that on Thursday evening. And that also is going to be a fundraiser. All the proceeds that come from Miss LSVA will, and also our tournament, will go directly to our beneficiary, Center for AIDS. So we're hoping to really, the more people come out to Miss LSVA, the more money we'll be able to get give our beneficiary.
We like that. Nonprofits need money, especially.
And the tournament itself is a fundraiser, and you can go out and watch if you want to, mm-hmm. free of charge.
Yep, and you can check
out. That happens out at Willowbrook.
Right. Yeah. If you check out our website, the lsva.org, you can get directions to the playing facility. The tournament is actually called the Lone Star Volleyball Classic, and like you said, it's our 20th year this year. So it is a great event. There's lots of cute boys out there also that are in the concession stand and also playing, and it's a really good time.
I see. It's very enticing.
They have to wear shirts, unfortunately, most of them. So
I love you mentioned your website. I love your website, lsva.org.
lsva.org, Lone Star Volleyball Association.org.
And anyone who's listening who plays volleyball at Spikesport on Tuesdays or Thursdays, mm-hmm. our C Division tournament is going to be at Spikesport that Thursday.
That's correct, yeah.
That Thursday of Easter.
That's correct.
I would like to say that our league is healthy and strong, and we are in the middle of our spring season. And we had somewhere between 25 to 30 new members this season. So there's great interest in Houston for volleyball. We even have a young gay adolescent whose family comes and helps him play. And it meets with our mission of serving the GLBT community with quality volleyball and the spirit of good sportsmanship. So it's open to everybody. We have, of course, we welcome our straight friends to play, but it's a safe environment for gay adults, gay youth. It's at
and transgenders.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Transgender.
Yeah, we have two or three that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's at the we play at the downtown YMCA on Sundays. We start at 11:30, and you're welcome to come and join the league.
So the pageant is March 28th at South Beach. That's coming up this weekend.
This coming weekend, this Saturday.
Yes. Saturday.
7 to 10.
And then the actual tournament itself is on the 10th and 11th. That's Easter weekend. Gary Greer from Lone Star Volleyball and Diana Fernandez, thank you very much for joining us.
You're Come join us on Saturday.
Yes,
you're listening to Queer Voices.
An assassinated gay civil rights leader from the U.S. discusses revolution and LGBT politics in a historic conversation after we take this Rainbow Minute to honor a British trailblazer.
Edward Carpenter, England's charismatic visionary, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Carpenter was born in Brighton, England in 1844. He later attended Cambridge. Upon receiving a copy of Walt Whitman's book of poems, Leaves of Grass, his life was changed. He said, quote, I would and must somehow go and make my life with the mass of the people and the manual workers. Thus his legacy to the socialist and cooperative movements began. But it was his writings on homosexuality that made him unique. In 1908, he wrote The Intermediate Sex, the first book of its kind in England. It gave information, hope, and support for gays. Some even considered his books their lifeline. His works are credited with inspiring many authors and activists that followed him. Carpenter shared his life with George Merritt for nearly 40 years. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Parker and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, John Klein.
I'm Harvey Milk. I'm a supervisor in San Francisco.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
And I'm gay.
And so am I. And we're up in San Francisco in Harvey's office at Castro Camera. And Harvey has graciously taken a few minutes out of his very busy schedule to talk to us about politics in San Francisco and how he got elected, the first openly gay person to be elected to public office in California history.
I'd like to also talk about politics in California rather than San Francisco. There's no moat built around the city of San Francisco that separates us from the rest. Sometimes we wish there were.
Last time on This Way Out, we heard the first part of my interview with gay civil rights trailblazer Harvey Milk, recorded just a few weeks after he was sworn in as a San Francisco supervisor and 8 months before his assassination. He talked about how his longtime district-wide activism propelled his electoral victory and the importance of coalition building with ethnic minorities. In the conclusion of this March 1978 conversation, Harvey elaborates on the importance of voter registration in advancing equality. He also offers his critique of what he called the self-appointed leaders of the LGBT civil rights movement.
If you like being harassed by the police, if you like being a third-class citizen, if you like being beat up by punks, if you like the church yelling at you, don't register, don't vote. If you want to be the traditional gay person who gets beat up and whimpers home and say, well, I'm gay and I deserve to get beat up, fine. Otherwise, the only thing you can do is register to vote. And when my gay, elitist, wealthy brother or sister says, I don't have to worry, I don't get in trouble with the police, I don't go to the bars, I don't go to this, okay, it's that old story in Germany. You know, first it was the gays and the gypsies and then the Jews, and they kept going. Finally, there was nobody to protest. You've got to stop them at the beginning. They've got to get involved. The gay elitists, the gay wealthy people, the gay society people, the gay people who have made it, they have to fight the battle now.
In many cases, they're in the better positions to be able to do it.
And they also in the position to lose more. Because the gay street person, i.e. whatever that means, what does that person get to lose? By fighting the battle.
Well, that's why they were out in the front
right,
at the beginning.
Right, but the well-to-do, those who have made it, they've got a lot to lose. They've got to lose what they're worried about. And they're the ones who have to come through, and if they want to stay in their closet and so forth, fine, but get their checkbooks out of the closet. It's needed. It's desperately needed that their checkbooks come out of the closet. I know the power I have as elected official in this city. It's incredible. I mean, I'm restricted by the charter of what I can do or I can't do, but boy, can I do it. And I know that when I speak out in this city, I mean, the police department is nervous, the Chamber of Commerce is nervous, I know the power I have. And if you don't start, whoever's listening, if you don't start helping electing gay people, and not just gay people, but gay fighters who will get up and not take it and sit back, will fight for it. If you don't start electing it, we ain't going to be in trouble. So people, gay street people have to register and vote, and they have to realize that it cannot be only voting for the people who believe in every single thing they do. You know? There's no such thing. There's no such perfect candidate. You know, they have to compromise and bend to realize things. And the gay person who is living in the hills has to realize that he or she can't only support the conservative type people or the respectable type people. That the you both have to lose. You both will lose. And if you don't get together, and you've got to join hands now, it's desperate. It's desperate.
We had a couple of gay people running in as candidates for assembly in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles districts 44th and 46th. Some political gay political clubs did not endorse them. I'm not going to be critical. I don't want to get into that issue. But what I want to ask you is, what happens when you have two or three or four gay political groups or gay organizations that are in a position to help, but who cannot seem to get together? Because obviously, you've got to have a coalesced movement in order to elect somebody. What can you say to these people?
In my first three attempts to run, I run four times if I win. I was never supported by the gay establishment. I was never supported by the gay political leaders. I was never supported by the gay clubs. And the reason why is if I won, I would have been what I am now that I won. And they would no longer be the top of the hill. They don't realize that there's room at the top for a lot of people. They wanted to be, they rather have been the Uncle Tom in the back of the bus, or the Aunt Mary as I call them, and have be the token, be the first to discover Barbra Streisand, to be, you know, the token fag, rather than to see a gay person elected and the power go that way. They didn't realize there's room for plenty. And I have found out in San Francisco, the so-called gay leaders of the time, the Jim Forsters and all those people, they were for themselves, they were not for the gay movement. That their attitude was so offensive that they would back straight people. I found that their influence was such that they brought Elaine Noble 3,000 miles cross-country to campaign for a straight person against me, a gay person, both of whom she had never met. And even this year, Alice B. Toklas would never support me. Some of the other gay
Democrats... You're referring, for those who don't know, to the Alice B. Toklas Democratic Club,
right,
which is the version of the Stonewall Democratic Club in Los Angeles.
And some of the other Democratic clubs this time did. They finally realized what it was all about. And finally, I was able to break. It took me four times to convince them. And the thing is that I've always done well, even though these people were knifing me, lying, smearing, and everything else about me. That I've really, because the people in the streets understood. The people in the battles understood. We got to admit. And so my answer is to L.A. is get it together. I find it offensive that gay leadership is so jealous of somebody else. I find that offensive. I find that people who say, oh, well, but we owe this to this person like that. I say, bull. You owe it. The reason is gay political clubs is to get the ultimate, is to get gays elected. That's why it exists, because we've been set up. And then to walk away from gay candidates, unless they are unqualified, that's a different story. When I say unqualified, I mean when they're really ass. They're beep, 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 beep. X-rated. B. If they no good, if they turkeys, that's a different story.
Well, if they're turkeys, they probably should never have gotten to the point where they're running in the
field. Well, no, turkeys can run. Anybody
that's
can
true.
Run.
Well, yeah, I've seen that.
Turkeys get elected.
God knows.
But when you're faced with a, even if you're faced with a gay turkey and a straight turkey, you know, you go to the gay. And show me how many great non-gay candidates there really are. But to come up with these reasons that I read about, I just, well, I know that the gay candidates in L.A. were facing the same thing I did. My advice to them is that then work that much harder and throw out those so-called gay leaders who are not gay leaders, but they are self-perpetuating self-leaders, self-appointed, have never done anything to get broad-based support, elitist support, yes, or groups, yes.
But yeah, never very much like David Goodstein, I understand Goodstein did not support
him. Oh, Goodstein fought against me bitterly, bitterly.
And then
threw
him through a victory party for you.
He lost. You know, at least he's smart enough to realize who won. He lost. And he understands. Goodstein was always against me. Used everything he could against me. And he never met with me. Never understood what it was about. But if the gay establishment doesn't understand what the gay movement's all about, you gotta get rid of them. And I'm not telling you they're not nice guys. not nice, wonderful people. I'm not talking about that they're fun people to be with. But if they don't understand what the gay movement's about, you got to get rid of them. And I'll tell you what the gay movement's about. After I got elected, I got the phone call I knew I'd eventually get. Got caught a few of them. One was from a 17-year-old child in a small town in Minnesota. And the boy is handicapped. And the boy's parents found out he's gay, and they want to put him in an insane asylum. And that boy needs help. And the gay movement is about the letter I got from Southwest Africa when he read about a gay person getting elected here. And that person has hope. And that 17-year-old kid in Minnesota has hope. And when we have gay leaders not understanding that and are more worried about their own personal power, they're not gay leaders. They're offensive.
Another reason that some people don't register or don't want to get involved in what they will call, quote, establishment politics is that they're just anti-establishment politics, period. You know, that the way to change the system is revolution, blah, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What can you say to these people who don't want to get involved, who don't want to register, who feel like voting and the whole establishment political process is a waste of time and not the way to do it?
Okay, the establishment political process stinks. I, too, would prefer to throw a bomb, except the establishment has more bombs than I have. So the option is something that I told, about 3 years ago. 3 years ago, there were a group of three, or maybe it was 4 years ago, three of gay socialists came in who I know, and we had a nice long talk, and they talked about how bad the system was, and that the system has to be overthrown. Then we got talking about police brutality and harassment. And I said after a while, what if you were the three police commissioners, and I was the chief of police? And they said, great. I said, I thought the system stinks. It's not the system that stinks. It's the people who are running the system stinks. If everybody out there who thought the establishment and the system was rotten were running it, if the most radical liberal person, revolutionary person, was the mayor of L.A., and the next one was the chief of police, and the next group of the city council, the next group of the board of supervisors, they would be able to change the system. You have two ways of changing the system: revolution, or getting in and bending it from within. Unfortunately, revolution will not work. I mean, it ain't going to happen. As long as there's two cars in every garage and a drop of gasoline and a TV set and you can wash your glasses and not get spots on it, the revolution is not going to exist. Because people are afraid of the unknown. And so they rather have the awful conditions that exist rather than the unknown. The revolution will not be televised. But rapid evolution can take place. Already on the board of San Francisco supervisors, in 6 weeks, things that were never discussed before have been discussed. The dialogue has been opened, which was never there before. And we won a lot of the votes. The very first major battle, and it doesn't sound like a major battle, but it is a major battle, was the location of a drug rehabilitation center, a Latino drug rehabilitation center in a white neighborhood. And the conservatives just won at it. And I battled them. I really battled them on it. And we won. We won the vote. A, that dialogue would never have taken under the old board. 7 weeks ago, that would never even come up for vote. And B, we won it. So, what is revolution, you know? It's not what I like to see. But we are going to have a rapid evolution. We've already had it in San Francisco. Just stop and think. The day the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco was sworn in, the tradition is every supervisor gets up and says a few general words and introduces their family there. And the first words out of my mouth, and the national press was there, was, as you know, I am gay. That has never been spoken before in any legislative body in this country. And I said that there's a state law that says gay people cannot legally be married. But there is no state law or law any place in the universe that says two people cannot love each other. And I'd like to introduce my lover. And if that's not a revolution, I don't know what is. Sure, it's not what we want. But, you know, we're battling thousands of years of prejudice and thousands of years of a system. It's got to change. It's not going to be easy. I can only do it if I have a lot of support out there. Can't have a lot of support out there if people are not aiding financially. And registering and voting. And there's got to be a lot more Harvey Milks. This has got to be. There's too many young kids in little towns in Minnesota.
You can get your own CD copy of the entire 30-minute March 1978 conversation with Harvey Milk for yourself or for someone you know who could benefit from his wisdom. Read all about it at www.thiswayout.org. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Michael LeBeau, John Torres, Rex Walkner with Bill Kelly, and Judd Proctor and Brian Burns with John Klein contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride and Rick Watts. The Birds performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is underwritten in part by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can support our work, hear our podcasts, or subscribe to CDs of our programs. To receive our weekly program email alerts, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on WCRS Columbus, Ohio, 3PVR Mill Park, Victoria, KUMD Duluth, Minnesota, and more than 175 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Come out and stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
Anyone interested in promoting human rights and freedom from oppression is welcome to join Students for a Democratic Society. Please contact us at scsuhtx@gmail.com.
If you believe in change through action, please contact us at scsuhtx@gmail.com.
You're listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio.
90.1 KPFT, Houston, Texas.
On Sunday, March 29th at 6 p.m., Voices Breaking Boundaries presents Cultural Narratives, a talk with Imran Aslam, the president of the largest alternative media network in Pakistan, Jio, that was closed down for 3 months in November 2007 after President Musharraf declared a state of emergency. With Pakistan on world headline news every day, Imran Aslam will share an incisive alternative perspective of the daily dramas unrolling in Pakistan and South Asia. All this on Sunday, March 29th, 6 p.m. onward at the Station Museum, 1502 Alabama, Houston, 7700. The evening is co-sponsored by KPFT Houston. For more information, go to www.vbbarts.org or call 713-524-7821 for more information.
90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Belinsky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
Welcome to Queer Music Heritage, and this is J.D. Doyle. I'm heard every month as a part of Queer Voices on KPFT. And the show for this month is a continuation of last month's show. So this one is called Gay Guys on Cassette, Part 2. And you'll see right away why this song is called Miles to Go.
High school yearbook, senior year, beneath our picture did appear a favorite quote that we did choose, a guide for life that we would use. Karen chose a Bible verse, Lee chose humor quick and terse. As if I knew what life would cost, I chose these words by Robert Frost. Oh, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. I sang in Athens, then Atlanta, an amusement park in Cincinnati, a Georgia Coast resort hotel, then Panama City knew me well, the first gay pride in New Orleans, then Birmingham between drag queens, Hollywood, Palm Springs, Reno, Austin, Omaha, still I'd go. Oh, for I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep. I've written songs, I've written plays, and family love has filled my days. I've made good friends and watched them die. I've prayed to God and asked Him why. And now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I pray tomorrow I'll still live and have another day to give. And now I take my AZT and wonder what's ahead for me. I pray a cure may soon be found before we're all beneath the ground. Oh, for I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep.
Starting off the show is an artist named Harry C.S. Wingfield. His music only came out on tape, and the song Miles to Go came from one called But I Have Promises to Keep from around 1993. As on part one of Gay Guys on Cassette last month, the two words cassette tape are the key words for the show. And the criteria is the same. An artist's recording could only have been released on cassette tape, not on vinyl or CD, or reissued on CD. So this puts us mostly in the 1980s or 90s, with releases exclusively by independent artists. These are the ones who generally sold their tapes at live performances, in coffee houses, or the few gay and lesbian bookstores, because that was really the only means they had of getting their music out there. So I'm having a lot of fun doing these shows, as it gives me a chance to showcase music you seldom get a chance to hear. And I have one more song by Harry Wingfield. This one is from his 1992 tape, Songs of Love, Songs of Life, and its sound is sort of a throwback to the early 60s. And it sure would have meant a lot to me if I could have heard songs like this on the radio when I was a kid. The song is called I Do, I Do, I Do, the Senior Prom Song.
Oh, 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 the first time I met you was at our high school dance. I was shy, I hesitated, afraid to take a chance. You walked by and you asked me if I want to walk with you. I do, I do, I do. oh, 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 we walked in the moonlight. We had lots of fun. I saw fire in your eyes, felt your hand on my left bun. I have waited for a lifetime, but at long last I knew I do, I do, I do. We went to the car for our first kiss. We went too far. We found true bliss. We made sweet love the whole night through. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. Oh, 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 oh. So both of our girlfriends had to walk home from the prom. Annette told your father, Kara Sue told my mom. We lost our reputation, but we found love so true. I do, I do, I do. To the car for our first kiss. We went too far. We found true bliss. We made sweet love the whole night through. I do, I do, I do, I do, I do. Oh, 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 oh. School days are ending. Graduation is near. And the entire senior class knows that you and I are special friends. 'Cause I cannot tell a lie when they ask if I love you. I do. Ooh, I do. I do. I do. I do. I do.
Everyone said that our love would never last. Said funny boys can't settle down, they live their lives much too fast. But we held on tight, knowing all along we would make it all right. So many feelings we've got to grasp on, we've got to hold on day and night. We love ourselves and love each other. With you, my lover, we'll make it all right. We'll make it all right. We'll make it all right. Everyone said it's a phase they're going through. Send those two girls, will settle down when the right men show them what to do. But we held on tight, knowing all along we would make it all right. So many feelings we've got to grasp on, we've got to hold on day and night. We love ourselves, love each other. With you, my lover, we'll make it all right. We'll make it all right. We'll make it all right. Everyone will have to see our love is real. On the day gay men and lesbians stand up for what they feel. If we hold on tight, knowing all along we'll make it alright. So many feelings we've got to grasp on, we've got to hold on. Love ourselves, love each other. With you, my lover, we'll make it.
make it all right. We'll make it all right. We'll make it all right.
Also from 1992, you heard Jimmy Worm and his song, Make It All Right. That came from a tape he released that was just called Worm. He's had two excellent CD releases, one in 1995 called I Pledge, and in 2006 a release called Last Chance, both very gay and political. One of the artists I much respect is Steve Cohen. In fact, I did an extensive interview with him for my October show in 2006. I can't resist sharing again two songs of his that he released only on cassette. That was in 1995, and he simply called the recording Tape 1. I really wish Steve would release these on CD, as they have very interesting messages. The first one, Mr. Wilson, deals with the seldom addressed topic of older gay men.
There was an old man that's down my road in a stone house all alone. Children, we stayed away in fear. Nobody could name Mr. Wilson with the fading green eyes. What do you feel inside? We don't mean you any harm. Did you grow up in a town like me? Are you living my past destiny? And the rumors, are they true? Was it once a man that shared that house with you? Mr. Wilson, you don't have to lie. You're a product of your times. To talk to you. Somewhere somebody didn't want you to talk to me, as if a man who's true to himself could somehow hurt me. I want you to know we can be free. Mr. Wilson told me you were insane. I can't accept that name. And I need to talk to you. Oh, mister. Can you open the door? Open it up, could you open it up? I know you wanna talk to me.
Hi, this is Steve Cohen, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
I once had a dream. Sing for large crowds. They'd understand my words. And life wouldn't be so hard. And all the love I swore I didn't need, I'd give it back to those who accept me. But I stuck my head in the sand, 'cause there ain't no gay boys
in record land. I stuck my head in the sand. 'Cause there ain't no gay boys in record land. I needed a deal where airplay makes you big, it makes you real. You could pass me that joint so I wouldn't think and I wouldn't feel. And all the love I swore I didn't need, never get, 'cause I couldn't love me. Now strike up the band, the show must go on, it's record land. Now strike up the band, the show must go on, record land. Show blow nowhere, he don't want to know. He pays good money to see you put on a show. Dream and sing for large crowds. They'd understand my words and life wouldn't be so hard.
Steve Cohen and Mr. Wilson, followed by Recordland. Steve's 1997 album, Silent Too Long, is one that I consider essential for any gay man's music collection. But if you do a Google search on his name, you'll find, well, a number of musical Steve Cohens. So, a couple years ago, he changed his stage name to something that is both familiar and unique, Elton Costello.
Is everything? wanted to hold up. Just a smile before the takedown. All the time you never knew it. A breath away from the breakthrough. Sometimes you got.
That artist was Will Grega with a very rare vocal track from him called One Touch From You from a mid-90s demo tape of his. Will is much more known for his series of instrumental jazz electronic albums, and his CD Stereotonic won the OutMusic Award in 2003 for Best Electronica Recording. But I'm also a fan of Will's for a different reason. He's a bit of a gay music historian. In 1994, he published a book called Gay Music Guide, which profiled almost 100 recordings by gay and lesbian artists. And these were all independent releases by folks who probably for the first time got any recognition for their work. For this reason, I'm dedicating my Gay Guys on Cassette shows to Will for his pioneering book and inspiration. Will Grega's book is one that taught me a lot, and it even was issued in conjunction with a sampler tape of 24 songs by artists the book featured. In 1996, Will published an expanded edition of the book, renaming it Outsounds, the Gay and Lesbian Music Alternative. And this time it was co-authored by Will's husband, Randy Jones. Many of the recordings covered were cassette-only releases, and I'm including about a dozen of them in these shows. Like this next recording, and it's an unusual one. It's the only gay chorus recording I have on tape that was never released on CD. From 1992, it was the very first album by Chicago's Windy City Gay Chorus. The album was called Mostly Love, and from it is What'll I Do, which featured soloist Bill Volman.
What is the romance that was so divine? 'Tis broken and cannot be mended. Must go your way and I must.
Windy City Gay Chorus has released 6 CDs since their debut cassette in 1992. The duo known as Pistol Pete and Pop Gun Paul released 2 CDs in 1998 and 2000. But in 1997, their debut cassette was released, and they called it Superfag. Here's the title track and a live version of their song, Never Be Straight.
Okay, this is July 4th. Happy July 4th, everybody. We'd like to sing about our own version of the American dream. Been bad and mostly in between, but now everything is different. It's the light I've seen shining on the trinkets this mysterious figure did wear. If I didn't know better, I'd say he was riding the air. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's super fag. I swear he must be insane.
Could last.
house and a dog, two kids and a wife. Nothing to be done about the divine plan for me to never be an ordinary man. And even if I sang songs that weren't so queer, songs that everybody would want to hear, even if I lived a masquerade,
Pistol Pete and Pop Gun Paul. And this is a good time to invite you to check out my website. If you visit it while you're listening, you can see the playlist and follow along while looking at photos of the artists and recordings. I've always considered our music history as a visual as well as an audio experience. And this is another one of my shows where I had much too much great material for just 1 hour. So you can find a much longer version of this show on my site. Again, that's at www.queermusicheritage.com. Also, for more very queer programming, I always encourage you to listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night, Sunday morning from 1 to 4 a.m. on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. Let's go to the UK for a few minutes. First, the style of playwright and cabaret artist Mark Bunyan might be called music hall, and in 1985 he released a tape called Landlady's Shoes. I chose his song, Is She One? And he writes that S/he so that it covers both she and he. You'll understand.
We're talking about somebody here who has an awful lot of sex appeal. Yes, we are. Someone who has the sex appeal of Rudolf Valentino, James Dean, Errol Flynn, and many, many other dead people. Ladies and gentlemen, your man of the moment, that wonderful, talented, and oh so very nearly famous, Mr. Mark Bunyan!
High above the city, from scaffolding of steel, two strapping scaffolders are chucking orange peel. Both read their Playboy and smoke their number six, and talk about that ref allowing all those penalty kicks. Then one tells the other the news he's heard that day. They say the foreman's girder swings the other way. Is he one? I'd never have guessed. Well, you never can tell today. To see one, they're like all the rest of us. We'll live and let live, that's what I say. To be one might be kind of fun, so I'll tell you what I'll do. If you will still be my sweet baby, I'll tell you I'm one too. Parish ring and buy sale, Miss Smith and Mrs. Brown are putting up the trestles that they put their best friends down. Miss Smith says Lady Slummit said the membership would build if we held less formal meetings of the town's women's guild. Well, I say sitting naked with her friends Val and Midge, not exactly my idea of a friendly hand of bridge. Is she one? I never have guessed. Well, you never can tell today. To see one, they're like all the rest of us. We'll live and let live, that's what I say. To be one might be kind of fun, so I'll tell you what I'll do. If you will still be my sweet baby, I'll tell you I'm one too. Up in the boardroom, beside his penthouse flat, the chairman has invited all the board in for a chat. Gentlemen, I'm sorry, he says, but we've gone bust, so let me make confession to the folks that I most trust. And leaping from the window, he screams, I loved you all! And all the boards start muttering as his stocks begin to fall. Was he one? I never have guessed. Well, you never can tell today. To see one, they're like all the rest of us. Well, live and let live, that's what I say. To be one might be kind of fun, so I'll tell you what I'll do. If you will still be my sweet baby, I'll tell you I'm one too. At Wimbledon each summer, you'll find a giant queue to watch a ball sail back and forth, they've nothing else to do. But in the women's lockers, there's paranoia rife at any eligible girl who isn't someone's wife. I've heard that La 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 won't have her matches fixed with any female player who would play her doubles mixed. Is she one? I never guess. Well, you never can tell today. To see one, they're like all the rest of us. We'll live and let live, that's what I say. To be one might be kind of fun, so I'll tell you what I'll do. If you will still be my sweet baby, I'll tell you I'm one too. Midnight in the Commons, whilst most backbenchers kip, the men before you guessed it had a session with the whip. Later, in the club room, she has a little grouse about the latest scandal which may well divide the house. The MP4, well, you know, does things I shouldn't say. I've heard his private member's bill quite exceeds his pay. Is he one? I never have guessed. Well, you never can tell today. To see one, they're like all the rest of us. We'll live and let live, that's what I say. To be one might be kind of fun, so I'll tell you what I'll do. If you will still be my sweet baby, I'll tell you I'm one. Two women traffic wardens are strolling round their patch. Says one that Rita Mita maid's a maid without a match. That's true love, says the other, as round the streets they tramp. I've never met a girl so keen on fitting on the clamp. But only on to fellas, with them she's so severe. Yet women get a friendly smile of just the ticket, dear. Is she one? I never have guessed. Well, you never can tell today. To see one, they're like all the rest of us. We'll live and let live, that's what I say. To be one might be kind of fun, so I'll tell you what I'll do. If you will still be my sweet baby, I'll tell you I'm one. Somewhere west of Texas, where men are men, are men. The trail boss screams, it's time to drive the cattle out again. We're 6 months on the prairie, our aching hearts are full. And no one has a sex life which is not a load of bull. Excepting Bart from Frisco, who's so quick on the draw. And partner Zach, who smiles all day, although he's saddle sore. Is he one? I've never heard guess, when you never can tell today. To see one, they're like all the rest of us. We'll live and let live, that's what I say. To be one might be kind of fun, so I'll tell you what I'll do. If you will still be my sweet baby, I'll tell you I'm one too.
Mark Bunyan. And another version of that song can be heard on the rare vinyl recording called Coming Out Ready or Not, recorded live at a benefit concert for the London Lesbian and Gay Switchboard in 1982. That concert included Tom Robinson and many others. I'm moving next to some country music, as done by Jeff Miller. Jeff was one of my special interviews when I did my QMH series on gay country music in the spring of 2005. I love his voice. And especially his 1988 tape called Not Really Straight, where the title was a play on words with the songs of George Strait. Here are Jeff's takes on Baby Blue and All My Exes Live in Texas.
He was so much like a man, but he was so much like a child. A devil when he held me close, an angel when he smiled. He always held it deep inside, but somehow I always knew. He'd go away when the grass turned green and the sky turned baby blue. Baby blue was the color of his eyes. Baby blue, like the Colorado sky. Like a breath of spring, he came and left. But I still don't know why. So here's to you and whoever holds my baby blue tonight. He brought colors to my life that my eyes had never touched. When he taught me how to care, I never cared so much. I tried
try not to think of him, but I fall asleep and do. And drift off where the grass is green and the sky is baby blue. Baby blue. Was the color of his eyes, baby blue, like the Colorado skies, like a breath of spring he came and left, and I still don't know why. So here's to you and whoever holds my baby blue tonight. Of spring he came and left, and I still don't know why. So it's to you and whoever holds my baby blue tonight. Baby blue was the color of his eyes, baby blue, like the Colorado skies, baby.
Place I dearly love to be, but all my exes live at BJ. That's why I hang my head at WC. Oh, sexy Mark, who lives in North Park, wanted me to be his groom. Little Scott tried four and got three ways instead of two. And Jerry, also known as Mary, drank too much for me. And innocently, it seemed so sweet, and cut me and then lost the key. And now all my exes live at BJ's. And BJ's is a place I dearly love to be, but all my exes live at BJ's. That's why I hang my head at WC. Where I learned some things, it brings to mind another time where I wore my Wrangler thing. A San Diego fans at buses, I go there each night, but I always go back to Ramona long before daylight. And now all my exes live at BJ. Place I dearly love to be, but all my exes live at BJ's. That's why I hang my head at WC. Some boys think that's great, it's been rumored I've gone straight, but I'm alive and well at WC.
Of course, Jeff Miller's exes are not in Texas. They're at BJ's Bar. And while we're in a country mood, here's Mark Islam. His music is not all country, but this one sure is. It's from his 1995 tape, The Calloused Heart Collection.
We've all had a share of heartache, man, they're just old news. But sometimes we wear them comfortably like faded blues. We've been kicked and we've been worn out, we've been badly bruised. I don't wanna think about it, don't wanna hear about it, don't wanna talk about love. I don't wanna laugh about it, don't wanna cry about it, don't wanna talk about love. Evenly tan, cause I'll never be the kind who wears a wedding band. You can bait me all you want to, but I'll never be your man. I don't wanna think about it, don't wanna hear about it, don't wanna talk about love. I don't wanna laugh about it, don't wanna cry about it, don't wanna talk about love. I'm tired of the heartache, tired of the lies, and I'm tired of the blackmail and bloodshot eyes. I'm tired of the tears shed and being misled, bounce back to square one again. When I think of how I carried on like a freshman in a frat house, staring down the dawn. All that talk just got me nowhere, cause I'm still alone. I don't wanna think about it, don't wanna hear about it, don't wanna talk about love. I don't wanna laugh about it, don't wanna cry about it, don't wanna talk about love. Cause I'm tired of the heartache, tired of the lies, and I'm tired of the blackmail and bloodshot eyes. I'm tired of the tears shed and being misled, bounce back to square one again. We've all had a share of heartaches, man, they're just
Don't Want to Talk About It by Mark Islam. And I said it came out on his 1995 tape. Well, I also have it on an earlier tape by him, a three-song demo from 1993, and I'm sure I have one of the very few copies of that one. We're running out of time for this show, so I want to thank you for listening to part two of my visit to a unique slice of our music history, Gay Guys on Cassette. If you missed part one, well, that's easy to fix, as all my shows are archived on my site at www.queermusicheritage.com. And if you go there, you'll find that there's more to the show for this month as well. 2 more hours of very rare material. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston. Closing this show will be Dan Martin and Michael Biello. They were the founders of the organization Out Music and have created a lot of great music. They both write the songs together, but it's Dan on vocals. And I just love one of their songs taken from their cassette tape called Human Being from 1992. It's about the consequences of remaining in the closet. Here's their song, You Do Not Know Me.
I go to work each morning, I have a job uptown, I ride the F&A train, reading the New York Times, I wear the proper colors, I laugh
jokes, friendly with everybody. I go to lunch alone. Pack up and find a spot. I say goodnight and walk away.
You do not know me.
Playout is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
. 80% of women are incarcerated because of domestic violence. One of the main reasons women are homeless is due to domestic violence and incarceration.
WOO is a reentry program addressing intersecting problems such as domestic violence and homelessness.
WOO, Women Healing and Empowering Women, presents Where is the Love? Part 2.
Our annual town hall meeting addressing reentry, HIV/AIDS, and domestic violence in honor of Women's History Month.
At the University Museum at Texas Southern University, March 28th, in partnership with FUSA, Creative Playhouse, TSU, and KPFT.
For more information, visit whew-now.org.
Or call 713-208-4376. That's 713-208-4376.
You're listening to 90.1 KPFT, Radio for Peace.
Animal shelter expert Nathan Weinograd will present a Building a No-Kill Community seminar in Houston, Texas. The seminar will teach citizens and animal shelter personnel the methods which have been proven to dramatically lower euthanasia rates in animal shelters. Some shelters following these methods have reduced the killing of healthy and treatable animals to zero. Join us for this innovative and life-saving lesson to learn how we can save thousands of animals in shelters every year. The seminar will be held Saturday, March 28, 2009 at 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. at the South Texas College of Law, 1303 San Jacinto Street, Houston, Texas, 77002. For more information, go to nokillhouston.org. KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.